and God. Yeah, and that. Good morning, all y'all. One of my favorite stories that I use as a reminder is the tale of King, the master carver, who made a bell. He made a bell stand of precious wood. And when it was finished, all who saw it were astounded, and they said it must be the work of spirits, and they asked him, "What is your secret?" And he replied, "I am only a workman. I have no secret. There is only this. When I began to think about the work you commanded, I guarded my spirit. I did not expend it on trifles. After 3 days of fasting, I had forgotten gain and success. After 5 days, I had forgotten about praise or criticism. After 7 days, I had forgotten my body with all its limbs. By this time, all thought of your highness and the court had faded away. All that might distract me from the work had vanished. I was collected in the single thought of the bell stand. Then I went to the forest to see the trees in their own natural state. When the right tree appeared before my eyes, the bell stand also appeared in it, clearly, beyond doubt. And all I had to do was to put forth my hand and begin. So to answer your question of my secret, I tell you this. My collected thought encountered the hidden potential in the wood. From this live encounter came the work which you ascribe to the spirits." Good story, huh? Nice analogy. What we abide in abides in us. What we are seeking is seeking us. If we will only be still and listen to the silence, it will speak to us. And it will speak in our own language. It will speak in exactly the way that we can hear it. It will speak in exactly the way that we can see it. And we will have that divine guidance that we all desire. But, like Emerson said, let us take our bloated nothingness out of the path of the divine circuits. What I want us to consider today is the amazing gifts it is to have tools. Tools like the tools that we have that not only enrich our lives, but the life of everyone that we're connected with. Everyone who is touched by our life. We have been taught that tools are for making something happen. Yes? And I want us today to take our fresh approach and to consider that something happening is not necessarily out there, but those tools that we're using are evoking something happening in here. We use them here, but what's changing is in here. These tools, they fill us and evoke us with deep abiding peace, unconditioned and unconditional love. These tools repair the holes and the chasms of separation. Those ideas that keep us from living in harmony and they hold us hostage. You know those tools that separate, that ease the separation, that lessen that feeling of being held hostage by blame, by envy, by despair? These tools that we have restore and renew and reset our awareness, our own awareness of the presence of divine love. And that presence, that one power, that one cause, that one source, it's right here, right where we are. These tools are, of course, our spiritual practices. And today we bring a fresh approach to them. Why? Because we're here on purpose and with purpose to continue to renew that divine idea of spirit within. We wouldn't be here if we weren't interested in this, in whatever way it is that you say it. There is something good that's going on, something calling to us, each of us, something beckoning us to know it in a greater way. So let's consider again that master carver. And before he even started his work to form something out of the wood, he emptied himself of anything that would get in the way of him being informed by spirit. So we're creating this opening with our spiritual practice. We're as Emerson said, getting our bloated nothingness out of the way so that those divine circuits can work clearly and beautifully. For many of us, that spiritual practice that we turn to immediately is meditation. You know, we meditate to clear the mind. And whether it's a focused meditation on a mantra, a visualization, or a contemplation of any sort, any of those mind-stilling activities and techniques that we have, that spiritual practice opens us up to the presence of peace. And Ernest Holmes, he wrote, "We must think peace if we wish to express peace. The mind that is always confused and distraught is not at peace. The mind that is continuously upset and agitated by the little pesky things of life is not at peace. It is at war with itself. And it is only when the individual ceases combating itself that it will stop combating others." You know, this is the beautiful thing about our philosophy, our teaching, is it always does come back to right here. What are we doing with it? Meditation not only clears our minds, it intentionally evokes peace. And when our mind is peaceful, it is empty of distractions. And distractions are the things that get in our way, aren't they? What if we considered meditating at the beginning of our day, at the beginning of any task before us, at the end of the day as we prepare for bed, as a way of preparing ourselves for our best life, for our best moments, for the best to be revealed in us and through us and as us? You know, we consider that bell carver. He said, "My collected thought encountered the hidden potential in the wood. From this live encounter, came the work that you ascribe to the spirits." He turned his awareness over to something bigger. He put his attention on his intention. Rumi said, "What you are seeking is seeking you." And I think we probably all realize it's essential. It's essential that we have a sense of this thing that is moving through us. And it's essential that we all do our own work to get to know what that is. We all do it in our own way. We all find that connection with spirit. We all experience it, and we get to know it. We get to know that thing, that idea that's beckoning to us, that's calling to us, that's demanding our attention. And it's those ideas that cannot and will not be denied. And when we're noticing that stuff, when we're not trying to ignore it, when we're not trying to be faster than it and do other things, when we're letting that dwell in us, then we find ourselves willing to pick up the tools, don't we? We find ourselves willing to return to our prayer chair. We find ourselves willing to sit in meditation and contemplate. Doris led us in this most beautiful meditation this morning that she found in the Science of Mind book. It is a perfect tool for us to use over and over and over and over again. And I'll just share it with you, and you can find it for yourselves in the book. And if you don't have it, let me know. I'll share it with you. The divine plan for me is perfect. I'm held in the mind of God as a complete and perfect expression of life and truth. When we meditate on that divine idea, something happens within us. Something changes. We felt it. In that room, the 15 of us or so that were in there was a shift. This is what happens when we use our tools mindfully and intentionally. Something changes, but it's not necessarily out there. Something changes in here. That's exciting to me. So again, I'll share the wisdom of Rumi. And please understand that when I refer to Rumi, I am acknowledging Jalal al-Din Muhammad, a 13th century poet, an Islamic scholar, a Maturidi theologian, and a Sufi mystic. He may be known simply as Rumi. Oh. But who I am acknowledging is that person. He said, "Let yourself be drawn by the strange pull of what you really love. It will not lead you astray." How many times have we felt that strange pull, but we don't quite recognize it, we don't quite know what it is, and because it isn't familiar, we go, prove you. If we could let ourselves be drawn into that pull of spirit that's upon us and trust that it will not lead us astray, just imagine what might happen. Because what would happen is we would get to know it in a greater way. We would get to know that presence within us in a greater way. And we would get to know ourselves in a greater way, which I believe is what we're always all up to. Getting to know that divinity of God that is Patty. Getting to know that divinity of God that is you. Getting to know it in such a great way that there is nothing else that I would rather do than to express that. When we hear truth from a poet or read it in a book or hear it in music and we feel like there is something more for us in that, like, oh, there's something more there. There's something more. When you hear it in my message on Sunday and you go, there's something more there, yay, that's great, because that means that we're engaging in it. We're engaging with that idea of life that is calling to us. And the opportunity is to use that tool, to use that spiritual practice of going within and contemplating and letting it lead us and listening to it until it speaks and allowing ourselves to be formed by it, to be informed by it. Our spiritual practices, they are the tools that we use to take the inward journey that Howard Thurman understood and shared. And he wrote, "Man," I'll add woman, "must experience life. He must feel it run through his whole being that life belongs to him and he to life, the experience of life, not in life, of life, will teach a man, a woman, not to fear life, but to love life." And it is life. It's this experience of life that inspires us. It inspires us to come back week after week after week, year after year after year, decade after decade, to pick up the tools again, to remember, to feel that connection. The tools are not meant to be mastered and then retired. These tools are meant to lift us. They're meant to challenge us. They're even meant to frustrate us. And they're meant to excite us. They are intended to awaken us, to remind us and renew us of this presence that is both within us and all around us. These tools, they're ours. Consider what it might look like to court the divine. If I was courting the divine, what would I be up to? What kinds of things would I be doing? What kinds of things would I be sharing? And consider what it would be like to be courted by the divine, because surely we are, each one of us. We are being courted in that very beautiful way that we think of being courted. We're being courted by that perfect power, by that presence. And consider that keeping good company is a spiritual practice. Keeping good company, keeping God company, is a way of courting that presence. And when we attend spiritual services and when we attend activities and gatherings with spiritually minded people, we are keeping God company, we're keeping good company. These community connection events are going to be a perfect way for us to be in the presence with each other and to recognize and know that. Again, in The Inward Journey, Howard Thurman wrote, "Whatever may be the occasion, there comes a deep necessity which leads you finally into the closet with yourself. It is here that you raise the real questions about yourself. The leading one is, what is it, after all, that I amount to ultimately?" Such a question cuts through all that is superficial and trivial in life to the very nerve center of yourself. Our spiritual practices not only prepare us for this inward journey, they also light the way. They light the way to go into that closet, to encounter ourselves, to be brave and courageous, to know ourselves. Spiritual practices are the tools that we use to enhance our life, and they change our life by changing us. I don't think it's much of a secret that prayer changes us. When we pray, it changes us. When we pray within our own mind, within our own heart, right here, and we feel it. It might even be considered the greatest spiritual practice of all. I don't know. Maybe for you, maybe not. But prayer is an act of communion with God, with Spirit. When we declare that God is all there is and further acknowledge the oneness, the allness, the wholeness of God's Spirit and recognize it as omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, and we seek to become wholly immersed in our awareness of the presence and the power, we are changed. When we unify with that presence and declare that there is one life, that life is God's life, that life is my life now, and we express the awareness that it's the power of God moving in and through us, we are changed. When we speak our word for ourselves or another and accept and embody our good as already so, we are changed. The outpouring of gratitude, it's natural. Just as the release of the prayer to let go and let God do its divine work acknowledges the change that has already occurred in our own heart and our own mind. Spiritual practices change us for good. When we do them alone and when we share them, they are that powerful connection to the thing itself, to the presence of God, the Almighty, Holy Spirit, whatever name it is that you have for it. It is that which allows us to express the divinity of God that is alive within us. So this week, pick your tools back up. Dust them off. Shine them. Love them. Engage with them. Let them engage with you. Use them. Use them well to stay focused on living in alignment with your highest purpose and your highest ideas of life. Pray. Meditate. Be in God's company. And recognize and know that you are God's company. Who do you want to be when you're with other people? Do you want to be that good God company? Say yes, because I want to hang out with y'all and I want you to be that good God company. Because that is what's happening. Every time we come together, we get to be in the presence of it, and it is in the presence of us. So let's let our light shine, shall we? Let your light shine. It is a brilliant illumination of God within you. This is our truth. This is the truth. Infinite creative intelligence expressing in and through all life is expressing in and through each and every one of us, always and in all ways, accepting it, embodying it, saying yes to it. It is revealed in the most perfect way. How grateful we are to know this truth, to know these tools, how grateful we are to use them well. Remembering to always let go and let God do its divine work, we easily let it be. Let's know it together. And so it is. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Our band is back. I wonder what they'll bring us.